Welcome to Third Heaven Authority Podcast. I'm Mike Thompson. Today's episode comes from my Prophet's Teaching Series. Join me in diving deeper into the Word and the Spirit. Hello, beloved of God. You know, last week I made a statement to you in Galatians 5, where the Apostle Paul told the Galatian church, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." That he was talking about more than just sin, even though he went on in that context and talked about sin and applying it to the flesh. There's more than that. You see, the flesh doesn't want to walk in the Spirit. You can walk in doubt and unbelief and religionism. You can be disobedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and still be a very moral person, a good person. So we must learn to walk in the Spirit. So today, there's a scripture I wanted to start with, and it's in John 1:1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." And then when you jump up to the 14th verse, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So we recognize that as referring to Jesus, of course, that Jesus was the beginning, the middle, the end. He's the Alpha, the Omega. And we realize that He is the Word. He's the Logos of God. His revelation to us is the Rhema of God. And it says that in the beginning, that all things were made through Him, and in Him was life. Now, I want you to remember that word. In Him was life, life. We find life in Jesus, who is the Word. He became flesh and dwelt among us. So in other words, the life of God, the Word of God, can be in flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jesus did it and gave the ability to us. And then we find that in the sixth chapter, the 63rd verse, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life." You notice I'm talking about the life of God, how all these things are connected, the Word, the Spirit. He says, "The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." The words are spirit and life. So the main point that I wanted to bring out here is that we have to walk by the Spirit and the Word of God in order to have the life of God. If we walk by the Spirit in the Word, the life of God will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I dare say that there's not anybody that's viewing me right now that doesn't really want to be a powerhouse for God. I mean, you want to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You want to lay hands on the sick and see them recover miraculously, man. You want to cast out demons. You want to do the works of Jesus. You want the power of God and the life of God. You want to live a holy, wonderful life before Him. You want all of those things because it's part of the intrinsic nature that's on the inside of you by being a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so it's an imperative for us then to learn how to walk in the Spirit, even the Word of the Spirit. It takes the Word and the Spirit, the powerhouses. See, there is kind of like there's a marriage. There's a unity, an agreement between the Word and the Spirit. It's a fusion, how it operates in our lives. We are spiritual beings, and as such, it's an imperative for us to walk by the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. I've said it so many times. It's almost like being a spiritual being and then having a natural being. that we walk with one foot in the spirit and one foot in the natural, in both realms. We were created by God to exist in both realms. Well, if that's true, then if all we do is concentrate on the natural realm in our natural life, and all we do is just feed the things that are from there, it can become flesh. And actually, even if we are moral people and we are Christians and we love God, it can actually become contrary to what the Spirit of God has for us, what He's leading us to do. So we have to be careful, and we must yield to the Spirit of the Word, and we must yield to the Holy Spirit that is empowering all of these things. You see, it's the Word and the Spirit. The Word is God's mind, and the Spirit is His strength. The Word is His will, and His Spirit is His power. The Word is His knowledge, and the Spirit is His life. The Word is His structure, and the Spirit is His grace. The Word is His direction, and the Spirit is His inspiration. The Word is His revelation, and the Spirit is His application and transformation. The Word is His logic, and the Spirit is His affection. It takes all of those. I've said it so many times, but listen, the Word only and you'll dry up. The Spirit only and you'll blow up. The Word and the Spirit and you'll grow up and you'll rise up in Him. It takes the two of them. Did you know that there was a famous English preacher, Tozer, and he implied that if the Holy Spirit was suddenly removed from the equation, that the majority of churches would continue unhindered. He said that about 95% of what so many of the churches, the assemblies and gathering of people do, is just simply formality. And so they'd only lose about 5%. Of the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Now, what an indictment. You won't find that around here. You won't find that in this ministry. You won't find that in our studio and our gatherings because, man, we absolutely yield to the Spirit of God. But isn't that something important for us to realize? This is not just a church issue. It's also a personal issue. Talking about our own individual lives, talking about our family structures, and the way that we conduct spiritual affairs. It's very important for us to understand that if the ways of the Spirit, and that might remind you of my second book on Third Heaven Authority, The Lion's Army. Third Heaven Authority was my first one. It's on authority and faith, power. And The Lion's Army is on learning the ways of the Spirit for these last days. And in there I talked about the ways of the Spirit. What are the ways of the Spirit? It simply is talking about how He thinks, how He moves, how He speaks, reveals Himself, spiritual gifting, spiritual endowments and empowerments, spiritual essence of the flow of the kingdom in our lives, the ways of the Spirit of God. If the ways of the Holy Spirit were suddenly withheld, talking about revelation, spiritual gifts, power, healing, prophetic insight, intimate worship, radical worship, great anointings, how much would it affect your life? How much? It should radically affect our lives. That's why we see that we are born of the Spirit and we must walk in the Spirit. I've witnessed a lot of moves of God during my time. And in such, there's been such powerful manifestations of the Word and people getting saved and the flow of the Spirit. And then for it later to become hijacked and watered down by those who wanted those results without yielding to doing it God's way. They come to a point to where they feel like, well, you know, the Spirit of God kind of got me here, but now I want to become respectable. Or my flesh and the circumstances around me and people, they don't want me to be that kind of radical anymore. And maybe I can achieve the same results. You won't. You have to yield to the Spirit. You have to be radical in the Spirit. I don't mean that you have to be crazy, weird. You know, the move of the Spirit going through you sometimes will cause you to do things that may seem a little embarrassing. But what he's trying to do is prompt you to just walk in his power. His ways are higher than our ways, but they are revealed to us when he flows through us. You know, there's a scripture in 1 Kings that I want to read to you. I love this passage for this purpose. In 1 Kings 14, beginning with verse 25, it says, "It happened in the fifth year of Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord." Do you hear me? He took away the gold. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord when he invaded, and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything that had value. He also took away all the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place. He replaced the gold with bronze. Looked the same, was shiny, didn't have the same value. He replaced flesh for the Spirit, because God had given instructions on all of those utensils and how they were to be made, and they were to be made with gold. We're talking about the purity of God. And he says he committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried them there, then brought them back into the guard room. In other words, when they went to the house of the Lord, they thought that bronze was good enough. Bronze is not gold. God wants the purity of the gold of the Spirit of God operating in our lives. He wants us to yield to the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, speak in tongues, move in charismatic gifts, have dreams, visions, angelic encounters. He wants us to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. He wants us to be led by the Spirit in all of the decisions in life and in what we're involved in. He wants us to be so close to the spiritual nature of Christ and of His Word that the Spirit of God is the one who puts us over in all things. You can't miss when you have the Spirit of God in your life if you'll yield to Him and have a primary dependency upon Him and His presence in your life. So I want to encourage you with that. If there are any who have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're a viewer right now, or maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, right at this moment, it is a rather simple thing to do by yielding. You see, the Spirit of God is on the inside of you now and you feel something. And so all you have to do, the Bible says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and confess Him as Lord, you will be saved. So just say, "Jesus, come into my heart. I believe that you were raised from the dead. I believe that you died for me and that were raised to heaven, and I ask you to save me now. I confess you as Lord." And the Holy Spirit does it. And then there's the baptism of the Spirit. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit comes with the evidence of tongues. It's after the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus and He's on the inside of you. He now has a second ministry, and that is to release his presence in a form of divine wisdom and power. And the way you receive that is you say, Holy Spirit, in fact, just say it with me now, Holy Spirit, I believe you're inside of me. I believe I'm born again. I believe you can baptize me in your power, your wisdom, your presence. I ask you for it. And I ask you for the manifestation of not only greater power, but also the manifestation of a heavenly prayer language. I receive it and I speak it out now in the name of Jesus Christ. Words will come like shalaradabokote ke shalakalamaton dedewataya yeshapakatai. It'll be a heavenly language that the Holy Spirit uses to prompt you and to pray the things of the kingdom of heaven into your life as you communicate unhindered with God.
I pray that today's message enlightened your heart and strengthened your faith. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And for more teachings and resources, or to become a ministry partner, visit MikeThompsonMinistries.com. God bless.